turning your business idea into a reality. Maine is full of entrepreneurs and small businesses. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 3/5 of the workforce in Maine works for a company with fewer than 500 employees. And Maine pops up regularly on lists of great places to start a business. There are many organizations and resources here to help people with a big idea. And today we're going to talk about them. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are live from the Gracie Theater on the campus of Husson University in Bangor to talk about entrepreneurship. We'll learn about business incubators, small business boot camps, micro-lending, free advice, and more. What are your questions about growing a successful business in Maine? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Gracie Theater at Husson University in Bangor, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. It takes a special spirit to start a business from scratch. Today, we'll learn about how entrepreneurs all across Maine harness that spirit and what it takes to make a business succeed. Joining me, Jennifer Sporzinski. She is Senior Vice President for Business and Workforce Development at Coastal Enterprises Incorporated. Brian Walton is Director of the Center for Family Business and Assistant Professor of Entrepreneurship here at Husson University's Center for Family Business. And Tom Rainey is Executive Director of the Maine Center for Entrepreneurial Development. As always, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea for a new business? Do you know of any examples of entrepreneurs who have successfully done so in Maine? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. And for those of you in the audience today, you will have a chance in a little while to step up to the mic and ask questions or share your thoughts. Thank you so much for being here, all three of you. Tom Rainey, I'm going to start with you. Why do we need entrepreneurs?
Well, in short, to diversify Maine's economy. And, so the big picture answer to that question is we can't be overly reliant on a few large employers around the state. I've lived in a lot of places that relied very heavily on a few very large employers, and when those industries went south for whatever reason, they're really in a bind. So it's really important to plant those seedlings and to nurture them and grow them, and that would lead to a much more resilient economy.
Okay. Brian, what makes a good entrepreneur?
That's a trick question.
Didn't mean it to be.
An entrepreneur is, they really need three essential qualities. One is they have to have emotional intelligence. And there are certain attributes of emotional intelligence that make an entrepreneur that way. For example, they have to have independence. They have to have empathy for others. They have to be skilled in interpersonal relationships. Business is all about rapport building. So they have to have those skills, but they also have to have a unique value proposition, a product or service that is good, that people want, that's in demand. And most important is passion. They have to have passion for customer service. I find that the best entrepreneurs, they aren't focused on the dollar. They are focused on providing a good quality product or service, and they care about the customer's feelings and how they view the products and service that they're using.
All right. Well, Jen, talking on a broader scale, we're talking about why entrepreneurs are good for the state of Maine. How do developing entrepreneurs and developing a workforce of the future go hand in hand?
Well, first, thank you very much for including me on the program. I'm really excited to be here, maybe a little bit nervous. But that's an excellent question, and I think just going on what Brian said, so you have that person with all that passion and all that excitement and energy, and that can go a certain point, right? And then you reach a point where you need other people to help you achieve that passion. And so we feel like at CEI and with things we've seen around the state, you've got the entrepreneur and the small business, and then you also need to bring along the workers with that passion. So it's extremely important. We've personally created some programs on helping with that, because right now in Maine, we're not really in a job situation, we're in a people situation. And so we need to help bring those people along to help the businesses grow.
All right. Well, let's talk about each of the programs that you all represent. Tom, tell us about the Maine Center for Entrepreneurial Development. I know even just reading through your website could take the whole hour, but there are all sorts of programs, all sorts of ways in which MECD helps potential entrepreneurs, current entrepreneurs, small businesses that want to grow around the state. Give us a few of them.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about that. So we like to think we have a full range of services we offer, from someone who really has just literally launched their new business all the way through to companies that would like to scale up and grow to the next level. So our signature program is Top Gun, and Top Gun is an entrepreneurship training program that runs for 4 months. And it's curriculum-based in that companies come in and they spend a couple of hours going through the curriculum of that evening, and then we have guest speakers that come in and we have workshopping that we do. So this is really our signature program, and what's really exciting is we started doing that 10 years ago in Portland, and thanks to some of our supporters and other regional partners, we've been able to grow that program now to 5 locations around Maine. So every evening we do this program. It's happening simultaneously in 5 locations around Maine, which is really exciting. So this year we have 43 companies participating, and while it's not all about pitching, it's really important for the companies to learn how to really put their best foot forward and to talk about their value proposition, their very unique value proposition. So we help them refine that pitch, and there is a pitch competition that we do, which culminates in a showcase event where companies all around the state will compete for 2 cash prizes this year. So that's one of the programs that we offer for the startup companies. But more recently, we've launched a program called Cultivator, which is really designed to scale up companies. And these are companies that have already developed products. They have their management team in place. They may be doing $500,000 in sales and up. And what we're trying to do is help those companies get to the next level. So that program, Cultivator, is focused strictly on food, beverage, and agriculture businesses. And we're doing that in partnership with Focus Maine, which is another organization here in the States that's doing a lot of really good work. We're also working with CEI on that initiative as well. So that's for scale-ups. And now we've also launched a new program called our trade marketing program. We're going to call that Trailblazer. And this is a new program, and it's really focused on helping companies that are established use trade data to make really, really pinpoint decisions about where they go with their marketing efforts. So it's not the sort of shotgun approach, but really targeted effort around that's data-driven around where they should go to further penetrate the domestic market.
Brian, what does Husson Center for Family Business do? Who do you help?
We help the 30,000 family businesses throughout the state of Maine. We are not just a support entity. We provide resources from companies that are at startup stage up through growth stage, similar to the Cultivator program that Tom was talking about. We like to focus on businesses that are ready to scale, not just in Maine. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs in Maine have a lifestyle business, but we are also trying to support businesses that want to scale nationally or even internationally. So we provide them with resources, workshops in business development, succession planning, helping the family business look at the whole life cycle of entrepreneurship. But we are also looking at creating an ecosystem. One of the key drivers when President Clark invited me to come to Husson, we were looking at this ecosystem in Maine of how the business community can interact with the academic community and also with entrepreneurs. And as a tri-point force to push economic development and business development throughout the state in attracting not only technology businesses to supplement the wood products industry, but also look at ways to expand the reputation of Maine businesses throughout the state.
You said 30,000 family businesses. That seems like a really big number for such a small state. Is Maine unusual, or is that what you find across the country?
You find it across the country, but a lot of small businesses, they don't register. They'll list themselves as sole proprietors. They'll list themselves as partnerships. Some of them are de facto family-owned businesses because people convert their hobbies into crafts. But because there's been a lot of job loss in the states throughout the past decade, a lot of people have done little part-time jobs at home. So when you're looking at a family business, you're basically looking at anyone who's trying to generate income for the family that is not employed by somebody else. So it does span a lot of people. And Maine does have 1.3 people, but there are a lot of people here that are working and doing their own independent jobs.
Jen, what does CEI do? Who are you working with? How do you help them grow their business?
Yeah, so we're focusing on growing good jobs, supporting environmentally sustainable enterprises, and promoting shared prosperity and across Maine. And we're doing that through financing, business advising, and policy solutions. So what does that mean? It basically means that we have a group that are doing lending to small businesses. We have a group, 12 folks around the state of Maine, working every day one-on-one with people looking to start or grow a business. And we have policy staff that are hearing from the folks that are working with businesses every day. What are the challenges to achieving our mission from these businesses? How can we, because sometimes it's not just that one person needing to do something, there needs to be a change in a policy way. So we approach it not ideally in a vacuum. Our goal is to approach it like an investment team, so that business advisor might also work with the lender, and we have some sector specialists as well.
And you're focusing often on what might be called non-traditional business owners, correct? Women business owners, immigrant business owners.
Yes, yes. So part of our programming, we focus in on the advising sort of by demographic. And when you look at the women in Maine, and we've made really great strides, 30% of businesses are owned by women. And that number, that figure is trending up, which is fantastic. But then when you look a little deeper, women-owned businesses have lower revenues, they have fewer employees. So our Women's Business Center, which is a statewide program, is looking at programming and ways to help those female-led businesses grow, and grow the way that those business owners want to grow, not by some prescribed or something that we think they need to grow. So we have several different programs that that support that.
Tom, I've read that Maine is considered a great place to be an entrepreneur. Is that true? And if so, why?
Absolutely. Well, there's a great number of organizations that are involved in helping entrepreneurs. And so one of the things I noticed when I moved here 2.5 years ago that I found really exceptional is that each one of these organizations work very closely together. We have an organization called Maine Accelerates Growth that it's sort of a clearinghouse for all of the organizations that are involved in helping entrepreneurs, where we come together and compare notes and make sure that we're not duplicating too much of the, you know, each other's services, and that we're sort of dovetailing our operations so that we can support one another more effectively. So the other thing that I've really found interesting about Maine is just the spirit of volunteerism, that there are so many individuals that are willing to step up to the plate and help out and share their knowledge and expertise and give back, in some cases, really successful entrepreneurs that are willing to roll up their sleeves and help out new entrepreneurs. So we've become a bit of a focal point, or sort of a clearinghouse, where we do some matchmaking with what we call the Maine Mentor Network. We have 157 individuals from many different areas of expertise that we have available that we can match with the companies that are going through the various programs that we offer. And then we oftentimes we'll draw on other organizations like SCORE and Small Business Development Center, other organizations that have their own networks. So we sort of cross-fertilize with these other groups, and it's just really exciting to see that happening.
Brian, I have an idea. I think it might be a good idea for a business. I've never done anything like this before. Where do I start?
Well, you can start actually with either one of our organizations. If you come to the Center for Family Business, one of the things that we'll do is see if your idea is actually something that you really are passionate about. I mean, a lot of people have ideas, but it's what do you do with it next? So do you want to be an entrepreneur? Do you want to create the business yourself? Do you want somebody else to create it for you and create like a turnkey incubator around it? Or do you want to just license it? So when someone has an idea, first thing to do is figure out if you want to run it or not. From there, that value proposition. What is it about your business that everybody wants? So talking to people at SCORE, that was mentioned, that you have a bunch of retired executives who know about multiple industries. They can provide guidance on the business. And at the CFB, we help people identify what their skill sets match the needs and the requirements of that business. So as Jennifer was talking about with the workforce development stemming from the entrepreneurship, that is something that you have to look at as well. Do you have the staff and the resources in order to build that business? And from there, it's scaling up. Where do you find the money and the capital? And with all of our organizations, we provide access and directions for financial sources.
All right, Jen, how hard is it to get financing for a first-time business? An entrepreneur with a good idea?
It can be challenging, excuse me, but I think if you seek out help to get and put your story together in a way that someone who's looking at that can say, oh, they know who their customer is, they know what their revenue is going to be like, and they have this ability to pay me back, right? So any bank and even CEI, the lenders like numbers, and they want to know that they're going to get paid back. So the resources that we've mentioned, and there are several others available, can all help an entrepreneur do that and put it together. I think, in fact, even though CEI does financing, we always recommend you go to the bank that you have your deposits with first and have a conversation with that banker. If you are a startup with very little credit, you will likely end up over with us or one of the other similar organizations in Maine. And I should say there are a couple other folks like CEI, more geographically based, and in the Bangor region, it's Mainstream Finance. So we're here to sort of help bridge that gap before bank financing.
What's more important, a good idea or just taking the right steps to make it happen?
For me, it's taking the right steps to make it happen. I see a lot of great ideas that cannot be monetized. It's having the right team that has the right vision, has the right ability to work together, and with the right idea, any team can make that valuable by following a systematic process or basically just being passionate about providing that service to the community.
I would like you all, before we go to our first break, and Tom, I'll start with you, to share a story about a company that you think is really exciting and you're really proud of how they took an idea and turned it into a business.
Well, one company that comes to mind that you may have been hearing a lot about is Flowfold, which is a business that they've been winning pitch competitions left and right, and they've been very, very successful in getting their message out. And they started out with...
Jen is holding up her Flowfold wallet right now.
I think we all have their little minimalist wallets and backpacks. But this is a company that started, a great Maine company, and that they're using some really unique materials. Pretty straightforward idea and very lightweight, new design, exciting new design. Developed this first sort of the minimally viable product and got it out the door. They actually went through the Top Gun program, which was great. But now they're actually iterating that product and building on that, and they're working with other larger Maine companies. They work with a large boot manufacturer here in town, or in the state, that they have partnered with to integrate some of their design into their products. So they're an organization that's growing very rapidly. They just launched a new manufacturing facility, and they've been exporting their products to Japan. So this is a great Maine success story. And we're proud to have been play a small part in that.
Jen, tell us about a company you're particularly excited about.
Well, I tend to really like to focus on the small businesses that we do work with, and so one story that comes to mind, and also is a business that's based in Portland. It's called Mariama's Beauty Supply, and why I like the story is for several reasons. But she came to us, and she's a hair braider and wanted to open a business to braid hair. And in the state of Maine, under the regulation, to braid hair, you needed to go through a multi-week cosmetology course, very expensive, and pass an exam in English. So it seemed pretty cost prohibitive to go into this particular business. So we actually worked with Mariama, and she testified at the state legislature about this, and we did get the, she got the law passed and changed or altered a little bit. So then she was able to open the business with a small, what we call a microloan. She has since, that's several years ago, has since expanded the business, come back for another loan. And then most recently, we had the opportunity to testify at the U.S. Small Business Committee regarding some of the work, and she raised her hand right again and said, I would love to do that. So her business, it's local, it's filling a storefront. She has hired several people, she's expanded, but she's also really civically engaged, and that's just exciting to me.
All right, your turn, Brian.
Sure, there's a company that, Husson's Center for Family Business does a collaboration with Greenlight Maine. And actually, Tom and I met on the set of that last year.
Which is a TV show, sort of like a local Shark Tank.
Absolutely. But we call it a dolphin tank.
Okay.
Because we're a little bit friendly and easier to get along with. And there was a company that came through called Kinotech. They deal with augmented reality, which is something that is groundbreaking in that they are allowing visualization of how arms are articulated in real-time space. So you can look and diagnose. Physicians and medical professionals can diagnose by viewing the screen. And it's something that Husson will be integrating into our new IX studio that will be in the new College of Business next year. So companies like Kinotech, where we can test the virtual reality and augmented reality, not just for games, but for academic purposes and research purposes, will be something that will be new in the space.
Neat. Well, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions. We're talking about entrepreneurship. We are live at Husson University. We're at the Gracie Theater. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Holocaust and Human Rights Center of Maine, welcoming school groups to visit the Michael Klar Center in Augusta to learn about the Holocaust and human rights through their interactive exhibits and free educational workshops. HHRCMaine.org. And Coffee by Design, locally owned and operated since 1994 and dedicated to coffee sustainability. CoffeeByDesign.com.
Wise County, Virginia is smack in the middle of the opioid crisis, and it is not getting any better.
You hear stories of the drugs being in the jail, or, you know, you get right back up with people who are not ready to change. They'll just come in, do their time, go back and do the same thing.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the opioid epidemic and one small slice of rural America, next time on Marketplace.
Marketplace is tonight at 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio. You've heard the tones before, here on Maine Public Radio and perhaps also on Maine Public Television. Maine Public is the designated primary source for the entire state of Maine emergency alert system, which we transmit to all other stations for broadcast to all listeners and viewers all around the state. This is a valuable and important public service tool to help inform, alert, and warn citizens when situations warrant, and Maine Public's statewide infrastructure enables it to fulfill this vital task and public service.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking about entrepreneurship in Maine. Joining me here at the Gracie Theater at Husson University, Brian Walton, who is director of the Center for Family Business and assistant professor of entrepreneurship here at Husson Center for Family Business. Tom Rainey is here. He's executive director of the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs. And Jennifer Sporzinski is senior vice president for business and workforce development at Coastal Enterprises, Inc. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. If you're here in the audience, come up to the microphone if you'd like to ask a question or share a comment. We're going to go first to Josh Henry, who's calling in. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Good. I understand you're with GoLab. What's GoLab?
GoLab is a building products company based out of Belfast, Maine. We're developing all wood fiber-based insulation products, a suite of products for the construction industry for buildings, multifamily, residential. And we're developing plans for building a factory. We actually finalized the contract to purchase the Madison Mill, which we're going to close on and establish our manufacturing facility there in Madison, Maine.
Sure, you were big news yesterday, Josh. That's right. Congratulations. Let me ask you, how has it been to start this new business in Maine?
Well, as I think everyone acknowledges, Maine is a wonderful place for the wood products industry. It's got a tremendous history. The people in the space in Maine are fantastic, and there's a real collaborative spirit there. And so it's been great for us. You know, my background is in materials chemistry. I was a professor at the University of Maine. My partner is an architect and started a design construction business about 10 years ago, focusing on ultra high performance buildings, and grown that firm from just two people to over 50 people. We are national leaders in high performance buildings. We built the first certified passive house in Maine, which was the 12th in the U.S., and have won a number of national awards for our design, construction, and building performance. I think the real benefit of being in Maine is the ability to reach out to all the experts, like the people that you have on your panel, and be able to access those people and talk to them whenever you have a problem. Not just them, and not just those programs that they bring to bear, but also connections with people within the industry that can help solve your problems in a really timely way.
Well, Josh, thanks so much for calling in. Tom, this is what you like to hear, people with different parts of the economy, different ideas coming together and making something even bigger and better.
Yeah, that's great. That warms my heart to hear these stories. And actually, one of the things that we're really intent on is making sure that the resources that we have at our disposal, that we can really make them available all around the state. You know, there's a temptation to try to keep things sort of around Portland, you know, because that's the major population center here in the state. But we've really gone to extra lengths to try to get out to other places. So we partner with Coastal Enterprises to develop a program for Millinocket. And we've been working very closely with 10 entrepreneurs there over the last 2 months to try to bring the resources that we have to another part of the state that oftentimes is underserved. And we're also working on a couple of other fronts. So it's, you know, these stories warm my heart for sure.
Josh is with GoLab. Thank you so much for calling in. And Jen, you were just in Millinocket yesterday, right?
Yes. So we are working very closely with Tom. So we're just completing the 6-week cohort. And I will say, I think what Josh mentioned, while the content that we brought to the entrepreneurs was useful and they were very appreciative, they, all of them actually said, you know what, it's the network that you've now brought to us, this person you referred me to, or this, now I'm reaching out to so-and-so to expand my coffee roasting business, for example. So in fact, while we may have a service, it's really then the broader network that helps the entrepreneur.
We have an email from Dave. Maine.gov business answers page is great.
Yes.
An online questionnaire will provide you with all the licensing and permits that will be required. They will even send you all the applications you need in the mail. I have never heard of another state that provides such useful assistance. Nice to hear. Thanks for that email, Dave. On the line with us now, Nancy Stroney, who is the chapter chair of SCORE, which is a mentorship organization. Thanks for calling in, Nancy.
Oh, you're welcome, Jennifer. Happy to be here.
Now, SCORE has been around for quite a while, hasn't it?
Yes, SCORE is an organization that's actually 54 years young, and how SCORE started and how SCORE serves the community today are very different. But yes, we are a nationwide mentoring organization that helps people either starting or growing their business through mentoring and education.
I'm depending on my memory here, but do you stand for a Service Corps of Retired Executives?
No, I'm cringing as you say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We don't use that. That term kind of went out of vogue about 8 years ago. And the reason for that is because of our mentor expertise and the pool of people that we have that help with clients. So back in the day, you're right, everybody who joined SCORE was retired, but that's not the case now. So we have subject matter experts who are people who are working and in the community and you know, available to give time to a client or help make a connection based on their needs. So we don't use that description of SCORE anymore because the services and our mentor pool is so much more diverse and broader than it was when that term was being used.
Gotcha. Not that there was anything wrong with it. It's always been a wonderful service. That's right.
No. So, it was limiting. That's all.
So now really about mentorship, looking through your website, some of Maine's most exciting young companies have worked with SCORE mentors. I'm thinking about Seabags. I'm thinking about Flowfold. Tell me the ways in which a mentor can help a company.
Yeah. Well, so... it depends on where someone comes into SCORE and where their business is today. So we meet people where they're at. So the examples you used are Seabags and Flowfold. So those are businesses that are already past the startup and are trying to grow their business or scale. And the way we help them is to provide in the case of Flowfold, monthly mentoring, where we actually sit with folks from Flowfold, and the agenda is theirs, and we cover just about any topic that's on the agenda that they want to talk about. And the thing about being an entrepreneur, whether you're in a one-person company or a five-person company, it's pretty lonely at the top. So the opportunity is to speak to a mentor and just kind of talk about where your business is and where you're trying to take your business and see what perspective, connections, network, whatever that entrepreneur needs to get them where they're trying to go, a mentor generally will help them get there.
Tom Rainey.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. Thanks so much, Nancy. And we work really closely with Nancy. It's not just individuals who are coming forward to provide mentoring. We actually have a lot of service providers, banks and law firms and design firms and others that step up and actually offer some limited services to us and working with the entrepreneurs that are part of our programs. And they do this, I think, largely out of what I would like to call enlightened self-interest, in that they really want to help get these entrepreneurs pointed in the right direction and help them get on solid footing. And of course, that creates a more resilient economy and ultimately comes back to benefit them as well. So we work very closely with established organizations that make their experts in-house available to us.
Go ahead, Brian.
Tom makes a good point about the collaboration. That's one of the things, being from away, that's one of the things I really noticed and appreciate about Maine, is the willingness to collaborate on different projects. I know Josh Henry and GoLogic. I've worked with him on a couple of things. And being able to reach out to CEI or DECD or Top Gun or Upstart Center to collaborate on ideas, get some input, and also get additional resources has been very valuable in helping companies grow here.
Well, Nancy, is anybody can anybody work with a SCORE mentor?
Anybody can. It's as simple as going online to either SCORE.org or SCORE Portland, Maine, or wherever your location is that you're calling in. We have seven physical locations around the state, and we also do video mentoring if your location is not convenient to where we are. And you fill out a very brief request for services, and we match you with a mentor, and then it's just as simple as that.
Great. Well, thanks so much for calling in. That's Nancy Stroney, and she's with SCORE, and she is chapter chair. We're going to go to Ethan, who's calling from Southwest Harbor. Hi, Ethan. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm trying to develop a small traditional boat building company with the idea that it's geared towards accessibility in maybe lower income communities. So I want to get sailing and rowing to be something people could potentially access, you know, without making tons and tons of money. But I was wondering what I could do or what would be a good next step for me and who I could contact to help develop a good business plan and get basically the ball rolling.
Wow, Ethan, I have a feeling everybody sitting here at the table with me would volunteer. Jen, you raised your hand first.
Well, I'll just give two concrete places that he can reach out to. So we have a business advisor in Ellsworth, might be a little bit of a drive. And you can find her contact information by, she is an SBDC advisor, but a CEI employee, and we're not going to spend the whole time explaining that, but you can find Shannon's contact information on sbdcmaine.org. Also on Mount Desert is an organization called Mount Desert 365, and they're doing a whole bunch of entrepreneurship activity on the island.
All right. Well, there you go, Ethan. Tom?
I can just add to that. There's an organization that's been launched within the last year or two called Maine Outdoor Brands, and it's a trade association that's made up of Maine-based companies that are all involved in some kind of outdoor activity. So everything from freeze-dried food for camping all the way up to L.L. Bean is one of the members, and sort of 45 companies and everything in between. So that would be a really great organization to reach out to, because I know part of their mission is to support other organizations, other businesses in Maine that want to go in that direction.
There's also something that can also be more practical for universities. This could be a good university project in order to help him build boats, either through a grant or through research projects, getting the boats built, but also looking at the community impact. How does this boat building business affect the community? It might even be better to have it as a nonprofit, because a nonprofit is still a business and a way to generate services if he wants to really help the lower income communities.
Well, there you go, Ethan. All sorts of ideas, and many of these resources will be posted on the Maine Calling Facebook page and Maine Calling web page if you happen not to be listening with a pen in your hand. So thanks for your call. We have an email from Brendan. Maine has been a great place to grow our business, Lockout Labs. In just over a year, we went from an idea to a patent pending product and made our first major sales of a utility safety device with the help of SCORE and other local organizations. So you can send an email to talk@maincalling.org. You can give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, talk@mainpublic.org, tweet @maincalling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do McFetty's Hearth and Home, offering patio furniture, grills, and wood swing sets for family-friendly spaces. More at stovesofmaine.com. And Maine Association of Nonprofits, celebrating 25 years of powering the common good by helping nonprofits thrive in a fast-changing world. Nonprofitmaine.org.
Friday is a big deadline for transgender troops. It's the last day to get a diagnosis of gender dysphoria to be able to be out at work.
Being put on the clock was awful.
Not just for one trans service member, but for her wife and kids.
I want people to understand that we're here too, the spouses, the children.
The impact of Trump's trans military ban. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered is today at 4 here on Maine Public Radio. And coming up next, World Affairs, we want to negotiate the secret world of kidnapping. While some nations are willing to pay ransom to terrorists in order to free hostages, the U.S. and Britain do not negotiate. That's coming up at 2 on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling. Today on the program, Entrepreneurship in Maine. Joining me, Tom Rainey with the Maine Center for Entrepreneurial Development, Jennifer Sporzinski with Coastal Enterprises, Inc., and Brian Walton from Husson University Center for Family Business. If you'd like to join our conversation, our number 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now on the line, Darren Coffin. He is CEO and chairman of Indian Township Enterprises. Thanks for calling in, Darren.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Tell us what Indian Township Enterprises is. What do you do?
Yeah, sure. So it is a wholly owned business arm of the Passamaquoddy Tribe at Indian Township. It is our venture into creating economic development on the reservation, our own version of entrepreneurship in rural Maine. So that's what we are currently focused on in developing. We're working with Dr. Brian Walting on finding financing for some of our projects that will changed Washington County for the best, and that hopefully attract some additional investment and create further entrepreneurship through individuals.
Darren, what do you believe is most needed to help small tribal businesses get started and succeed?
It's the access to capital. It's the that's the most the challenging part that individual tribal members run into, as well as tribal businesses. There are plenty of programs that are available, but it's just getting the local financial institutions aware of those and comfortable in using those federal guarantees for individuals and tribal businesses.
What's your vision for what Indian Township Enterprises will represent a few years from now?
I'm hoping that it'll represent responsible, sustainable economic development in the rural part of the state, as well as providing a livable wage with benefits so people can provide a comfortable living for their family members.
Well, Darren, thanks so much for calling into Maine Calling today. Darren Coffin, CEO and Chairman of Indian Township Enterprises. We have some questions here in the audience. Go ahead. What's your name and where are you here from?
Hi, my name is Mark Nason, and I work here at the New England School of Communications at Hudson University. And listening to people talk about starting up businesses has me thinking about students that we see here at this university and other places of higher education, where students maybe try their hand at something new for the first time and it doesn't always work out the way that they expect. They might not see the immediate result that they were hoping to see. And I think that correlates a lot with new businesses. A lot of folks might start up businesses and sometimes it doesn't always work out. What advice would you have for folks who have tried launching a small business, and maybe didn't see the result that they wanted? What would you do to encourage them to try again? Or what are some resources that they might look upon that they didn't consider the first time around?
You know, when I was describing what makes an entrepreneur, one of the things I mentioned was the passion. Loving what you do, wanting to be the best at it. If someone fails initially, that is a learning experience. So what I try to help entrepreneurs understand is this was just a pathway to explore, to see if you could make it work, but you're going to learn from it, and what can you take from that and build upon for the next step. But also letting them know that they don't have to do it alone. There are resources out there. They've got a lot of people on campus, outside of campus, that are willing to support them. And all they have to do is pick up the phone and call, and they'll have that support. And then we'll help guide them on a path that might work, and that might fail too. But as long as you keep moving forward, eventually you'll get there. So having that fortitude, that resiliency to stay with it.
All right, thanks for your question. Another question from here in the auditorium. Go ahead, what's your name and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Patrick. I'm a biomedical engineering grad student over at UMaine, sorry to say. I'm very excited after I graduate to grow a company called Lobster Unlimited. And what we do is create value-added biomedical and cosmetic products from lobster processing waste. In our pilot product line, we hope to develop eczema products for women with eczema. And I know that I'm in for a very big learning curve. I don't know much about skincare, and I've certainly never known what women want. So I also realize that I work very well around like-minded individuals. So my question is, apart from the other programs that you've mentioned, are there incubator or accelerator type programs that you think we would fit the bill for, or other entrepreneurs outside of my space would really recognize as valuable?
I can try to answer that one. So last year we actually experimented and adapted our Top Gun program to serve a group of aquaculture companies. It was a little bit of a risky endeavor in that we didn't know if the aquaculture, the farmers that were out on their rafts would be willing to come in after work with their rubber boots on and actually participate in a class. But we had 21 companies apply for that. We had 11 companies go through. We work with the Gulf of Maine Research Institute. They were our partner on that particular initiative, and we held it at Coastal Enterprises in their classroom there. So it was a great collaboration. But yes, there is that resource. Gulf of Maine Research Institute would be a good one to talk to. But also, there's the New England Ocean Cluster, which is a new nonprofit that's on the scene in Portland, and they're planning to do a lot of the same kinds of things you're describing. So they would be a really great organization for you to tap into.
Good luck to you. An email from Jeffrey. When I watch shows such as Shark Tank and the venture capitalists make offers but ask for a percentage of the company, I'm never sure what constitutes a good deal. How does a new entrepreneur judge how much to give an investor? Good question.
That's
huh?
a really good question.
you worked
in Well, every deal is different. Yeah. You know, every deal is different. Depends on, you know, the value proposition of the company, the scalability of the company, the team. You know, so there's really no cookie cutter approach to, you know, to that question.
Yeah. But it really boils down to valuation of the company. What can you determine a value from if there are no assets or revenue yet? So then it's the potential. So you're looking at the marketplace. What potential market share could they obtain based upon the current technology and competition that's out there? So the valuations are always going to be tricky. Usually what I recommend is when they go to that round where they're trying to get financing from the public, that's a Series A. But a seed round is when you're dealing with friends and family. That's where you get your core valuation of the company by seeing what your friends and family are willing to pay for it, and that can help guide you on your next steps to valuation of the company.
I would just add that they should find an advisor to help them do all of these things, because in fact that route for financing might not be the right fit, and so just having someone else helping them think it through.
A tweet from Nissa: I cannot sing the praises of SBDC enough. Peter in Portland helped me take my business at magic of pause from something to make ends meet to a fully fledged business looking to hire its first employee. So that's exciting. We'll go to Stacy, who's calling from Scarborough. Hi, Stacy. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question that I'm hoping you guys can answer for me about farmers and social entrepreneurship in Maine and what sorts of resources there might be available. I like to think of organic farmers as sort of the original social entrepreneurs, so I'm just curious if you have any suggestions.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Stacy. CEI has a very strong history working with farmers, and in fact, one of our big initiatives is sustainable agriculture, and so we can certainly be a first resource, and the person at CEI is Brett Richardson, but there are many, many other resources that are offering classes. So MOFCA is great, and in fact, Brett could give you a whole list of people to connect with.
I can just add to that.
Go ahead, Tom.
Our Top Gun program in Waterville this year is focused on food, beverage, and agriculture startups, and we have a number of farms that are involved there. So, we'd love to talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Stacy, for your call. A tweet from Jordan: one aspect of entrepreneurship that I've always found fascinating is the idea of the valley of death. Yeah. What advice would be given to small business owners who are currently still in the valley? What is the valley of death?
The valley of death is that period, usually in years 3 through 7 of the entrepreneurship cycle, where the company has just enough employees to start thinking about scaling and, you know, hiring outside that seat, that corporate suite of executives. When you're at that point and you're ready to scale or diversify your product line or expand to a different market, what do you do? What it takes to start a business is very different from what it takes to scale a business. So the key thing that you have to look at is, okay, am I ready? You know, where's the business currently? How and where do I want to be? So you have to have that plan, that strategic plan that evolves. The business plan should not be a static document. You should be looking at 5, 10, 15 years and work backwards. How are you going to get to that point that you're looking to, and what resources do you need to bring in order to make that happen?
Okay, Jordan, thanks for your tweet. We're going to go to Michael, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Michael. Go ahead. Michael, are you there? Well, shoot. We'll go to Marty, who's state representative from Biddeford. Hi, Marty.
Hey, Jennifer. Yeah, such a great panel. I wonder if the panel would talk a little bit about some of the amazing exits that we've seen in the Maine entrepreneurial community. My podcast, The Grow Maine Show, I've been able to feature some of these companies like Tepware, and it's just neat to see that happening. I think it really speaks to what's going on with Maine's entrepreneurial community.
I should just say, Kepware has been really generous to the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs in that they've offered their president served on our board of directors, for example, and it's a great example of a company that once they've sort of made it, they've given back, which has been really great. I don't want anyone else
to go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, the company at the stage we're working at Top Gun, we don't see them exiting. we're at the very beginning of the process where we're trying to get them on the right path. And one of the things we try to do is kind of set realistic expectations in terms of that growth path. You hear a lot about the unicorns and you know these you know Silicon Valley companies that you know they have billion-dollar valuations after you know 2 or 3 years. That isn't common in Maine, I can tell you. You know, so it's getting the company on the right path, setting the right expectations. And one thing that all of the organizations that are involved with the Maine Accelerates Growth, the sort of roundtable I talked about, we've adopted this, what we call the viral assessment process. And this is, it sounds a little scary, but it's actually, it's designed to get us all on the same page in terms of where a company is in their development. So we have basically an assessment that we do and the companies do to outline where they are in this this multi-step process and to fill in where there are gaps. And what's nice about that is because we've all adopted this, we have a common language around where the companies are. And when we're doing sort of a handoff between the different organizations we work with, we can really, with pinpoint accuracy, tell the other organization where this company's at. So one group that hasn't been mentioned yet, Maine Technology Institute, really has been driving this assessment process forward. Mm-hmm. They've been amazing in playing a leadership role in bringing this to the other organizations in the state. And they also provide a lot of resources to help companies scale up to get to the point where they can make an exit.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Marty, for your call. An email from Henry. I'm writing to express my gratitude to all of the new business resource providers in Maine as my company, Back 40, prepares to launch our on-demand outdoor gear rental service. The mentors with whom we've connected through SCORE and Top Gun have been invaluable assets.
It's good to hear.
Beth on Facebook says, the guests could talk about the businesses of artists, skilled craftspeople, artisans, makers, who cannot scale their businesses in the same ways that more traditional ventures do, and may also be less likely to land capital and funding. So small businesses that aren't interested in growing, but maybe just making enough money to live a good life.
Yeah, I can certainly talk about that. Sure. I think that's the, I would say, possibly the majority of what we see, and so sometimes referred to as lifestyle businesses. We are absolutely happy and love it when someone comes in with that's a real passion, usually. And we can help them take that passion into profitability, and if they want to be a one-person shop, we're fine with that. I will say we have certainly funded some of those types of businesses, so I wouldn't rule it out. But often they don't need extensive amount of funding. But again, we do loans as small as $3,000.
Well, that's going to be our last word. We are out of time. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us today and all of you in the audience here. Jennifer Spurzinski, Senior Vice President for Business and Workforce Development at CEI. Brian Walton, Director of the Center for Family Business and Assistant Professor of Entrepreneurship here at Husson University's Center for Family Business. And Tom Rainey, Executive Director of the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs. And thank you to our wonderful hosts here at the Gracie Theater at Husson University. Lucy Suchek ran the board. Isaac Merson took your calls. We had help from John Bradford and Dan Works. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.